Well, good morning, Harmony. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and welcome to our Sunday morning online service. Today we're going to be continuing our study through the book of Genesis. We'll be in Genesis chapter 39, and the title of the message is The Lord Was With Joseph. And so Genesis 39, verses 1 through 23, we've been studying the life of Joseph, and it's a fascinating study of the providence of God and what God did in Joseph's life despite the tragedies and problems that he encountered. And so we're going to see that this morning. The Lord was with Joseph, but first we'll pray. And this morning we want to remember our church members in prayer who are suffering with sickness. We have some that are recovering. Miss Althea had a surgery and she's recovering from that. We want to continue to pray for her. We want to continue to pray for Miss Lois. We want to pray for Miss Wylene. We want to pray for all our members, Miss Myrtle, who is dealing with cancer. And we want to pray for Bob and Shirley. Miss Shirley lost her sister. And then Bob is having some health problems and some tests. And so we want to pray that God will work in all those situations. And there are others who are sick and suffering, and we just want to pray for them. I want to continue to pray for John and Carolyn. And we want to pray for Roger and Carol, and we want to pray for all our church members. Jeff's traveling. We want to pray for him and his safety and Christy's safety. And we just want to pray for everybody in the church, all our shut-ins, and just everybody. And we want to continue to pray for churches that are being persecuted right now. There are churches that cannot meet because of government overreach that has turned into persecution. If you look at Brother Treber in California, and he is wanting to meet with his church, and the government's fining him $10,000 a day. And we need to, and he's taking precautions, but they don't want him to meet in a building. And so we need to pray for all those that are suffering persecution and those that are trying to be faithful in their witness for Jesus Christ. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. We do pray that you would bless our church. Bless all those who are sick. Bless our shut-ins. Bless those who are lonely. Bless those who need your touch this morning. We do pray for ourselves. I pray for forgiveness of my sins. I pray for fullness of your Holy Spirit. I do pray that you would just bless our meetings. And I pray that you would bless those churches that are only able to meet online, that don't feel they should meet in person, or they're not allowed to meet in person. We pray for those churches that are under persecution today and are trying to figure out how to navigate all the rules and regulations. And we do pray that you would bless and help. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So we are going to look at Joseph's time in Potiphar's house and the fact that the Lord was with Joseph. And by way of introduction, I want to say that four times in this chapter, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. So this is an emphasis that the Bible makes, and we've taken our title from this, the Lord was with Joseph. So four times, and we'll see that as we study through the chapter. But the first thing we want to look at in verses 1 through 6 is that the Lord was with Joseph when he was a slave in Potiphar's house. The Lord was with Joseph when he was a slave in Potiphar's house. The Bible says in Genesis 39 and starting in verse 1, And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now remember that his brothers sold him into the hands of the Ishmaelites. In fact, it was Judah's idea to sell him. The others wanted to kill him, and Judah said, why should we kill him when we can make a profit off of him? Let's sell him. Now, Judah saved his life, but he wanted to make a profit off of him. And, of course, the last time we studied Genesis, we studied the story of Judah and about his lineage, and we found out some important things there. But now we're back to Joseph, and Joseph is traveling with this caravan of Ishmaelites, these traders, and they traded in all kinds of things, including human beings. And of course, there's slave trading going on today in our modern world. You wouldn't think it's going on, but there's sex trafficking, there's trafficking of children, and there's slavery and slave trading going on in our modern world. And so, that's a wicked thing, but the more things change, the more they remain the same. And so, they are taking Joseph, in this caravan, and they're slave traders, amongst other things that they trade and sell. And so, Potiphar, goes to, the auction or the sale, and he sees Joseph, and Joseph looks like a stout young man, and Potiphar decides that he will buy Joseph. And so he brings him to his house. The Bible says here that Potiphar was a captain of the guard, an Egyptian. Dave Guzik says that the idea behind the title captain of the guard means the chief of police, or probably more precisely, Potiphar was head of Pharaoh's secret service, his personal security force. He was a highly trusted official in the government of Egypt. And so we will look at this. This is where Joseph finds himself as a slave. But the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So we see that even when Joseph is a slave, even when Joseph has been sold by his brothers and taken down to Egypt into slavery, the Lord has not forsaken Joseph. The Lord is with him. And by the way, the Lord is with us in the midst of our troubles and trials. We may not see it, but the Lord is with us. And in this case, the Bible says that Joseph was a prosperous man. God prospered him even in the midst of slavery. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So this Egyptian saw that the Lord was with Joseph. And that's an amazing thing that a man who is of a different religion would look at a slave and would say, hey, the Lord is with him. The Lord's with him. And so he saw that. And I hope that in our lives people are able to see that the Lord is with us. They ought to be able to. I remember when my wife and I were missionaries, we were on deputation. We stopped at a Waffle House near Jasper, Georgia, and a lady that was waiting tables asked us. She said, "Are you all Christians? Are you Christians?" And we ought to have a testimony and a conduct that people would ask, "Are you Christians?" And so his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. And Joseph found grace in his sight. Now here, grace means favor, and this is different from God's grace, which is unearned and undeserved. We don't deserve God's favor, But this grace came because Joseph had earned Potiphar's trust. So he earned this grace. But we don't earn God's grace. So Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So God not only blessed Potiphar's house, but he blessed his crops too. He blessed his field. He blessed his livestock. He blessed everything he had. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And so, this man trusts Joseph implicitly. He doesn't worry about Joseph stealing from him, about Joseph cheating him, about Joseph doing anything that is corrupt. He trusts Joseph. And he doesn't worry about a thing. Such was Joseph's character. When the Bible says Joseph was a goodly person and well favored, that means his appearance was handsome. He was good looking. And that leads us to our second point, which is the Lord was with Joseph when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Verses 7 through 19. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. So, Potiphar's wife, who was not exactly a woman of great integrity, looks at Joseph, and he's a good-looking young man, and she looks at him, and she says, have sex with me. Let's have sex. Nobody will know about it. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, all sin is ultimately against God. When David committed his sin of murder and adultery, when he was repenting and praying to God, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this great wickedness. And that's because sin is against God. God says what is sin and what is not sin. People try to make things sin from time to time. They will say things are sin that aren't sin. For instance, the Catholic Church says that it's a sin to not attend Mass. Well, I'm not a Catholic, and I don't find that in the Bible where it's a sin to not attend Mass, so I don't attend Mass. And people will say, well, it's a sin to do this, or it's a sin to do that. And you ask them why, well, it troubles my conscience. See? So they turn something that is a personal conviction into a sin. But only the Bible can tell you what's sin and what's not. And so, Joseph said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He recognized that this thing would be a sin against God. As David did when he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And so, Potiphar's wife says, lie with me. Lie. Nobody's going to know. Nobody will know. My husband won't know. He's out doing his duty for Pharaoh. He won't know. You're a good-looking young man. Lie with me. But he says, no. No. how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And I imagine that Potiphar's wife was not a woman that was used to having servants say no. But that's what he said. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. So because she could not get him to have sex with her, she tried to get him to lay down next to her. Perhaps she wanted him to lay down in a bedroom next to hers for easy access, or to take a break and lay in bed with her. But Joseph continued to say no. No. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. So nobody else was there except for Joseph and Potiphar's wife. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. So Joseph ran. He left his garment in her hand, fled, got him out. I remember when I was single, I was going to meet somebody at Waffle House, and I was uncomfortable with the situation. And I asked a friend of mine, "What should I do in this situation?" And he said, "If anything happens, have some money ready, lay it on the table, say bye, and leave. Just get out of there. Don't wait to just lay enough money on the table to pay the bill and offer a tip and leave and get out." And that's what Joseph practiced, as my pastor used to say, he practiced tennis shoe sanctification. He didn't wait around. He didn't reason with her. By the way, it's always a mistake to reason with somebody that's trying to tempt you. They're trying to tempt you. Leave. Leave. I've watched some of these protesters, rioters. There's a difference between protesters and rioters. Protesters are peaceful. Rioters try to hurt people and burn stuff down and all that kind of stuff. And I've watched this on TV, and I've seen how people are reacting to them. And the ones that have the best luck are those that don't respond. They just walk. They ignore them. They walk as best they can. Those that respond and get in a verbal discussion with them, it usually escalates it. And so Joseph, in this case, didn't respond to her. She catches him by the garment and says, "Come on, have sex with me." And he just leaves the garment in her hand, pulls away from her, and runs out of the house. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out." Now, I seriously doubt that these people believed her. I doubt that this was the first time that she had ever done this before. You have somebody that's going to do something like this, and this is not the first time that they've done it. She had done this before. And no doubt, perhaps, she had sex with some of these servants. But they're scared of her. She's got blackmail on them. They don't want to be put in prison. And so she says, "Look what he's done to me. And he left his garment with me." And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me." To mock me means to toy with me, to play with me. Gill says, in an obscene manner, using filthy words and actions contrary to the rules of chastity as well as good manners, or in other words, to lie with her, which she pretended he solicited. And you are very foolish. You're very foolish, men and women, if you go to work and joke with members of the opposite sex about sex and use words and actions that, as Gill says, are contrary to the rules of chastity as well as good manners. I don't care what day and an age we live in, it is an inappropriate thing because you never know when somebody who is an immoral person like Potiphar's wife may think that that's an invitation to do something with you. You need to watch your language and watch what you joke about, what you say, because not everybody's a Christian and not everybody can be trusted. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant, a little anti-Semitism there, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, this was the second time Joseph's clothing was used to bring a false report about him. See chapter 37, verses 31 through 33. In both cases, he had been serving faithfully, but in both cases, Joseph ended up in bondage. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And that brings us to our third point. The Lord was with Joseph when he was locked up in Potiphar's prison, verses 20 through 23. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Now this prison was a part of Potiphar's house. Perhaps it was next to it. But in chapter 40 and verse 3, the Bible says, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. So the house of the captain of the guard is Potiphar. And that's his house. And so the Pharaoh put his prisoners in ward in the house of the captain of the guard in Potiphar's house. So this prison was in Potiphar's house or next to his house. So this is where the king's prisoners were bound. It was an important place. And this shows you how important Potiphar was. He was a very important person. As Guzik said, perhaps he was the head of Pharaoh's secret police. But here it is again, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And so they couldn't move without Joseph's permission. Joseph was in charge of the prisoners. And you see the providence of God. You see God's blessings upon Joseph, and God was with Joseph. And the Bible says in verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, of course, God in his providence is putting Joseph in these situations. He allowed him to go to Egypt so he could be in Potiphar's house. And he allowed him to be in Potiphar's house so he could be tempted by Potiphar's wife. And he allowed him to be tempted by Potiphar's wife so he could resist that temptation. And he allowed him to resist so that she would accuse him. And he allowed her to accuse him so that Potiphar would put him in the king's prison. And he allowed him to be put in that prison so he would meet the special prisoners that we will see next week. And he's allowing these things to happen to get Joseph to where God wants Joseph to be. And do you know that the Lord was with Joseph this whole time? And do you know that no matter what you're going through in your life, the Lord is with you? And he's using those things providentially to get you to the place to where he wants you to be. Maybe you're not being the husband and the father that God wants you to be. And he's using providential means, which may seem unpleasant, to get you to the place to where he wants you to be. A lot of men think that when their wife criticizes them and gets angry at them, you know, we want to tell the wife, get in line. It's your job to be my helpmate. It's your job. I'm doing God's work, and it's your job to help me do God's work. But God may be using your wife to help you in a greater way. He may be using your wife to help you see that you're not conformed to the image of Christ, that you're not loving your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And it may be that your wife's criticisms are things that God is using to expose your sin and your issues. And so, in God's providence, he can put us in the situations that we need to be in. Maybe God's put you in a situation and you've lost your job and you don't know where your next paycheck's going to come from and you're trying to figure out what to do. And you're in that situation, but God's using that to move you to where he wants you to be. I've seen God do it in my own life. I was in a place for years where I should have left, and I didn't. It wasn't a bad place, it just wasn't where I needed to be. And I should have left, but I didn't, because I was loyal. So I stayed. And my family suffered because of it, and I finally, God, through a providential means, moved me. And things that I thought would be the worst thing in the world actually turned out to be wonderful things for me. And God does that. God is moving Joseph like a chess piece on a game board. He's moving him to get to the king. He's moving him to Pharaoh because God's going to use Joseph to save his family, which is the nation of Israel. He's going to save his family from famine. And through doing that, he saved the tribe of Judah. And it was through the tribe of Judah that came Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so God has this whole thing planned out. And God has your life planned out as well. Don't ever think that God, because you're not a character in the Bible, that God's not the same God and that he doesn't plan our lives out. God's got a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for your life. He's moving you to where he wants you to be. Don't resist his will. Joseph didn't resist these things. He was in this situation. He just did the best he could. He knew he couldn't get out of it. So he did the best he could in the situation. And tragedy after tragedy happened to Joseph. But it ended up getting Joseph to where God could use him the best way and the most. So yield to God. Surrender to God. And let God use you. The Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord is with you too. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing. I do pray that you would bless us, help us to know your presence and to conform to your will. We do pray that you would bless families. I pray you would bless those suffering. I pray that you would just help us, strengthen us. I pray if anyone listening to this doesn't know you as Savior, that today would be the day that they would believe in you as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior, and would receive you into their lives and be born again by faith in Jesus Christ. We do pray that you would bless us and help us. We ask it in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. And I hope you'll join us on Wednesday night as we begin our study of the book of Ephesians for our midweek service. But thank you, and God bless you. I hope you have a great week.